Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Next Time by Robin Alexander. Narrated by Lori Prince. Chapter 1. I really appreciate y'all agreeing to be a part of my study, Olivia Graham said as she placed a recorder and notebook on the table.
What is the study for again?
Peyton asked with a blank stare.
Ryan rolled her eyes and smiled apologetically at Olivia.
I'll be buying her some ginkgo biloba tomorrow, and later on this afternoon I'll hook her up to a car battery. She's due for a charge. Peyton huffed.
In my defense, I've been working a lot.
That's okay, Olivia said with a laugh. I'm a psychology student, and my thesis is on the dynamics of lesbian and gay relationships. I'd like to talk about when you first met and what your courtship was like.
I'm sorry about my mental lapse. I do remember meeting you at the New Year's party and discussing some of this. Then someone introduced me to Patron.
Peyton shuddered.
That's an angry demon in a bottle.
I'm not gay. I don't know if you remember me telling you that, Olivia said as she toyed with her pen. My brother Adam is. I got the idea for this when I reunited with a friend I'd grown up with. While we were reconnecting, I mentioned that Adam had recently married his partner, Eric. Natasha's reaction wasn't what I expected. I guess I just assumed, since she'd been living in California for years, that her opinions would be a bit more progressive. Through this study, I've learned that we make a lot of assumptions about geography. So I began to question people about their feelings on gay marriage. And I was taken aback to find so many viewed it as something simply political. I realized from a lot of my discussions that some people tend to think same-sex unions are more about sex than love. My intent is to show that same-sex relationships aren't that much different from any other, although there are obstacles that you face that I don't.
Very cool. I'm excited, Peyton said as she rubbed her hands together.
Olivia's hand hovered above the recorder.
Are we ready to begin?
Ryan and Peyton glanced at each other and nodded. Olivia pressed the record button and cleared her throat. The date is January 17th, 2015. I am with Ryan Seeley and Peyton Foray. They've been together 3 years. Ryan is 42 and Peyton is 41.
40, Peyton corrected.
Honey, you're 41.
No, I'm not. I was born in... Oh, you're right. Okay, anyway, it was love at first sight. Two souls came together at precisely the perfect moment. Stars collided, the earth shook.
Peyton shrugged when Ryan and Olivia stared at her.
That's how it felt for me.
Ryan, what was your impression? Olivia asked.
We met in a bar. I thought she was extremely attractive, but that's not really what drew me to her. As we began to talk, I felt like I'd always known her.
Peyton stared at Ryan.
That's it? Just a little meat, no lettuce, tomato, not even a pickle?
I answered the question, Ryan said with a shrug. Peyton turned to Olivia.
Let me lay down the cheese.
New Orleans, January 2011. I really appreciate you doing this, Jana Warren said as she stared out the passenger's window of a cab. We've done the Skype thing, I've seen her, and we've talked for hours on the phone. But you can never be too sure these days. I had a nightmare last night that I met her in person, the date was stellar, and we ended up going back to her place. Things were getting intense. Then she morphs into a scary-ass monster and bites half my face off.
Damn, the cab driver whispered with a chuckle. I'm your wing woman, Peyton said distractedly as she read an email on her phone. If I see fur or fangs, I'll throw you over my shoulder and whisk you away.
You should try it sometime, the online thing. Jana fidgeted nervously. Melanie is amazing. We like all of the same things. She loves to cook and going to wine tastings.
She'll devour a whole book in a weekend, sometimes two. She's fiscally responsible. Her retirement plan is kick-ass. Jenna sighed. She's perfect. Or at least, she seems so. But tonight we'll decide if all of our chatting will pay off. Peyton stuffed her phone into the pocket of her jacket and laid a hand on Jenna's shoulder.
Relax. You babble when you're nervous. Then you get mad at yourself and clam up, she said as she picked a piece of lint off Jenna's sweater. You look great. And you smell pretty good. You'll do just fine.
Peyton's advice fell on deaf ears, because as the cab pulled up at the curb in front of the bar, Jenna began to pant like a dog. Peyton pulled a couple of bills from her pocket and handed them to the cabbie.
Give us just a sec, please.
I can't go in there. We were doing so well online. Why should I mess it up?
Peyton met Jana's unfocused gaze.
This is for your own good, she said, and thumped Jenna on the ear.
Ow, shit! I hate it when you do that!
Jenna shouted and climbed out of the cab.
Don't judge. We would have been here for an hour otherwise,
Peyton said with a wink for the cabbie, who stared at her in the rear view. Then she climbed out of the car.
Jenna, open that door and go in, or I will punch you in the forehead.
Jenna grabbed the lapel of Peyton's jacket and drew her close.
You stay at my side, and if I start sneezing, that'll be my cue to drag me out of there.
Count on me.
There were only a handful of patrons in the club on a Tuesday night. A woman seated at a piano in the far corner of the room played to a few people gathered around her baby grand. There were two women seated at the bar, and without Jenna having to say so, Peyton knew who Melanie was. She and Jenna had nearly the same short hairstyle. Melanie's was blonde, Jenna's brown. They both wore rectangular-framed glasses. Peyton was transfixed by the pair as they slowly approached each other wearing shy smiles. Then they began to talk at the same time, admitting how nervous they were and how wonderful the other looked. They continued to talk as they moved to a table, and Peyton felt it would be weird to join, so she went to the bar close by.
I don't think we're needed anymore.
Peyton motioned for the bartender and set her gaze on the woman seated next to her.
Are you Melanie's wingwoman?
Ryan Seeley, recently retired wingwoman, she said as she put her hand out.
Peyton Foray, retired as well. Pleasure to meet you.
I'm not the one Melanie wanted. She thinks my partner would make a better bodyguard, but Lee had to work late.
Ryan glanced over her shoulder at the pair of lovebirds. From the looks of it, Melanie won't need any protection or emotional support.
I had to resort to physical motivation to get Jenna to come in here. She was seconds away from a complete meltdown.
Peyton winced.
I hate first dates. They're so awkward. You're sizing them up, and you know they're doing the same. You constantly wonder what they're thinking as you try to make a good impression. It's kind of like a poker game. No one shows their hand, and the tension mounts.
Ryan nodded with a smile. You sound like someone who's been fixed up a lot.
I'd like a green apple martini, Peyton said to the bartender when he joined them. And another of whatever she's having.
She returned her attention to Ryan and noted the ring on her finger.
I have been the project of a few matchmakers. You're one of the lucky souls who has found your other half and is living out your happy ever after.
8 years, Ryan said with a smile.
It's a lot of work.
How so?
One of Ryan's brows rose.
You've never been with anyone long enough to know?
My longest was 10 years.
Peyton propped her chin in her hand.
I thought we worked well. But when Courtney turned 30, everything changed. She told me she wasn't happy anymore, that she'd taken a look at her life and wondered if what she had was all there was. At first, I thought it was the crisis a lot of people go through when they're leaving their 20s. A day after that conversation, she left me for a girl who was barely 21. And that is my story.
Ryan waved off Peyton's money when the drinks came. I'm running a tab, and it's on me. Besides, it's the least I can do after hearing that sad tale.
Thank you,
Peyton said after she took a sip of her martini.
Talk to me about the work you mentioned. Perhaps I did something wrong.
Ryan shrugged. I have to cook when I don't particularly want to. I watch movies I don't care anything about, go places that bore me. Lee does the same. I suppose the work is always remembering that you have to compromise. We live as one, but we really are two different people. Peyton shook her head.
I did all of those things. We didn't talk, though, at least not about things we should have. I guess we got to the point that I thought I knew what she was thinking all the time. I can look back on it now and see that I'd fallen into that long-term relationship trap where I thought I knew her. We didn't talk about dreams anymore. Know what I mean?
Yeah, Ryan said after a second or two and took a drink. Peyton shook her head slowly and stared at her glass.
That was a really painful time in my life. But it taught me so much. I did things I thought I would never do. I always thought if anyone cheated on me, I would never take her back. But I did that with Courtney. When she left, all I could think of was getting her back. I couldn't remember one negative thing about her. Forgot about all the things she did that grated my nerves. But when we got back together, I didn't see her the same way. All I noticed were her faults. She didn't even look the same to me. She wasn't as attractive. She wasn't as funny as I remembered. I saw her with completely different eyes. We didn't last a month before I called it quits.
We do turn a blind eye to some things. Ryan looked away when Peyton gazed at her. It's the whole love is blind thing, I guess. Sometimes cuts are too deep, and you lose your ability to do that. Peyton released a heavy sigh.
I'm sorry for being a total downer. I don't know what got into me.
Don't apologize, Ryan said with a smile.
Small talk bores me. That's why I'm not any good at it. What kind of work do you do? Wait, let me guess.
Peyton narrowed her eyes and gazed at Ryan's hands. They were smooth, her short nails covered in clear polish. She appeared to be in her mid to late 30s. Her auburn hair was shiny beneath the light directly above her. Peyton couldn't decide whether she considered it short or kind of long. It fell in shimmering waves onto her shoulders when she ran a hand through it. Her eyes were dark brown and almost cat-like, and they disappeared completely when she smiled. She had on a pair of black slacks and high-heeled boots. But the way she gestured when she spoke wasn't ultra-feminine, as her look implied. Beneath her wool coat, she wore a simple white blouse, revealing a string of small white pearls around her neck. Her features were narrow, giving her a delicate appearance along with her creamy complexion.
It's not physical labor. You work at a bank.
Ryan's laugh was lilting as she shook her head. Math nearly kept me from graduating college. Peyton tapped her temple with her index finger.
A podiatrist.
Oh, this is going to go on a long time, Ryan said with a smile.
I give up. Surprise me.
I teach American history at a private school not far from here. Peyton threw up a hand.
That was my next guess.
You're lying.
Yes, I am,
Peyton said with a laugh. What do you do?
I'm a teacher of sorts, too. I compose the cute but annoyingly repetitious songs you hear on children's educational programming. If you want to learn your vowels, I am the go-to woman. What can't we do with A-E-I-O-U?
Peyton sang and drummed a little beat on the bar.
Right now I've got one about Punky the Donkey brewing in my head, but I can't seem to make much use of it.
How did you get into that? Ryan asked with interest.
I've always come up with odd jingles. Mind you, I am not what I set out to be. In my youth, I saw myself writing pop hits. Every time I hear a song on the radio about booty, I grit my teeth and say, "Damn, I could have written that."
Peyton shook her head slowly.
It just wasn't in the cards for me. I didn't know that when I packed my bags and headed for Los Angeles. Courtney was a singer and had her dreams, too. But she ended up doing vocals for commercials. Through her networking, I met someone who asked me if I could write a song for an animation company he was working with. Tex, His nickname, because of his accent and he was from El Paso, is now my agent. They liked what they heard and gave me a shot. I made a reputation for myself pretty fast, and before I knew it, I had more work than I could handle. Peyton held up a finger. You want to know the real irony? I left Louisiana because it didn't hold any opportunities for me, and I ended up right where I started. It's become the Hollywood of the South.
I know. I was late for work last week because a movie was being filmed on the route I normally take. The morning traffic reports are full of warnings to avoid certain areas because of filming. Unfortunately, on that day, I didn't listen. Ryan took a sip of her drink. Music is a great learning tool. I tell my students if they're having a hard time remembering things that will be on a test to write a song with the facts and memorize it.
That's how I made it through school.
Peyton looked over her shoulder at the pair seated at the table behind them. Embroiled in conversation, they hadn't ordered drinks. Jana's gaze was riveted on Melanie.
I think we may have a match.
Ryan glanced at them and nodded. Jana is all Melanie has talked about for the past few weeks. She's a good woman, in case you were wondering. She lives next door to us. We've known her for years.
Jana's good, too. She's not a play-the-field kind of girl. Once she decides she likes someone, that's it.
Are you doing the online thing, too?
No, but I probably should. I mostly work from home now. I don't meet that many people.
Peyton sighed.
I say this because I'd love to play the field, I just don't know where it is. I'm 37, too old in my opinion to hang out in clubs, hence the fix-ups. I haven't gone on one of those since the last one, two, no, 3 years ago.
I know it, no. Peyton smiled and picked up her drink.
No, thank you. I've taken my love life into my own hands. Please don't read too much into that statement.
Ryan laughed and raised her own glass in a toast. I wish you success.
I wish you continued happiness, Peyton said as she met Ryan's glass with her own. How'd you meet the love of your life?
I have a friend who considers himself a matchmaker. He wanted to set me up with a friend of his and threw a dinner party. The woman I was supposed to meet didn't know Cameron's plans and surprised Cameron and I both by bringing a date, who just happened to be Lee. Ryan smiled and ran a hand through her hair again. The attraction was instantaneous. Cameron said he could see the sparks flying when we looked at each other. The next morning, when Cameron woke up, he found Lee sitting in his driveway, and she asked him for my number.
Y'all were just meant to be,
Peyton said with a winsome smile. Ryan looked away and nodded. What type of woman are you looking for?
Is your inner matchmaker asking, or is it curiosity?
The latter, Ryan said with an impish grin.
Looks are important, Peyton put up her hand. Don't judge too quickly. I mean that I'd like to be attracted to her physically, but personality is really the key. I'd like someone who knows who she is, who isn't afraid to self-analyze. Of course, that comes from experience after what Courtney did. When she came back, she said she really didn't know why she did what she did and claimed that she never stopped loving me. I never could get her to admit why she felt unhappy. Maybe if we had talked before she took off, whatever was going on inside of her could have been worked out. I want a woman who isn't afraid to talk about what she's feeling. I want to be comfortable enough with her to do the same.
Peyton tapped the bar with her index finger as she thought. My work is important to me. I need someone who will understand when inspiration hits. I need time to work on it.
That's kind of hard to jam into the hours between 9 and 5. A sense of humor is a must, and a good work ethic. I can cope with many things. Laziness isn't one of them. Is my list too long?
No, not at all. You know what you want. That's important. Most of what you just said would make a provoking profile on a dating site.
Oh, don't you start, Peyton said with a laugh. Jana was trying to talk me into that on the ride over here.
I won't deny that there are a lot of people who misrepresent themselves on those sites. But look at the pair behind us.
Peyton peered over her shoulder again. Jana and Melanie held hands as they talked. Jana's face was alight with happiness, and Melanie seemed just as enamored. Peyton was genuinely happy for her best friend, because she'd gone through a great many oysters until she'd found what looked like a very promising pearl.
Ryan regarded Peyton as she gazed at the couple. Peyton appeared to be a good catch. She was certainly good-looking. Had Ryan been single, she would have picked Peyton out of a crowd in a heartbeat. She liked what she considered Peyton's daring hairstyle. It was dark blonde, so short on one side it bordered being shaved, and on the other was a shock of messy curls that hung down to her jaw. Her blue eyes were dazzling, even in the muted light of the bar. Her sense of style was certainly appealing. Beneath a blazer, she wore a lightweight sweater. The tails of an Oxford shirt hung halfway down her thighs. She wasn't wearing any makeup, but Ryan could tell that Peyton took care of her skin. Lines were faint around her mouth and eyes. She smiled easily, and Ryan liked that.
"You're studying me,"
Peyton said as she slowly turned and faced Ryan.
"Yes," Ryan admitted without hesitation. "I like your hair."
"Oh, thank you. My hairdresser talked me into this. She said my look was too dated and suggested something edgier. I was in a mood for change, so I just let her do her thing. I nearly hyperventilated when what looked like a 2-foot pile of hair hit the floor. My hair is naturally curly, and honestly, I did look like a poodle that had been electrocuted. She wanted to add what she called subtle highlights, but it was too much change in one day for me."
Peyton patted the short side of her hair.
"I'm still trying to get used to this."
"I really like it. I feel like my look is matronly. My boss knows I'm a lesbian, but it's frowned upon to advertise it in my line of work, according to him. By that, he means nondescript hairstyles and clothing. The more you blend in, the more relaxed everyone is. Which I think is stupid, since we're supposed to gently teach equality. It's a private school, and Mr. Barnes doesn't like to make waves."
"I don't see matronly at all. I would define your style as elegant."
"You don't think I'd look cooler with a mohawk and a teardrop tattoo on my cheek?"
Ryan lowered her voice to a whisper.
"Because that's what I feel like inside."
"Hey, it's what's inside that counts,"
Peyton said as she took a drink.
"I blast rap and club music in my car on the way to work and switch it to easy listening a block away from the school."
Peyton laughed.
"What other wild things do you do?"
"That's it," Ryan said with a frown. "I'm afraid I've become a sedate adult. Mardi Gras? Forget it. I prefer to be able to sit down in comfort and go to the bathroom when I want. Concerts make my ears ring. Now it's just lazy Sundays and an occasional dinner out. The wildness of my youth has coalesced into a comfy spot on the sofa and a good glass of wine.
When I'm feeling really frisky, I turn my songs into profane ditties. Like Ponky the Donkey I mentioned earlier. That mule gets really nasty and starts spanking a turtle named Myrtle."
Ryan laughed so loudly that even Jana and Melanie turned and looked at them for a split second. Ryan wiped her eyes and asked,
"Have you ever gotten your dirty songs mixed in with the children's stuff?"
"On purpose once. I have a studio in my house, so I'll write and record the projects there, then I send them to Tex. This particular tune was about washing your hands and went something like..."
Peyton shook her head and laughed.
"I don't think I should sing this in front of you. I'm trying to make a decent impression since we've only just met."
"Oh, sing it! I have to hear this," Ryan said with a laugh.
Peyton inhaled deeply and let it out slowly. Her voice was gruff when she began to sing.
"Hello, friend. You know it's a sin if you don't wash your hands. You extend them to me after you take a pee and don't understand why I shy away. I haven't been lurking, but I know you've been jerking the gherkin. Ryan, breathe.
What are you doing to her? Jana asked with annoyance.
Ryan was slumped against the bar, wheezing with laughter.
Peyton shrugged.
I just sang her a little song.
They watched Jana and Melanie for a moment, and Peyton sighed.
We may be watching destiny unfold over there. Wouldn't it be cool for us to be able to say years from now that we were here the night their future as a couple began?
You have a romantic heart, Ryan said with a smile.
Peyton turned back to the bar and took a sip of her drink.
Maybe all of us who are single are inclined to be that way. You dream of the moment like they seem to be having over there. You envision yourself with someone special doing something mundane, and it fills your heart with longing. But I've been there before, and even though I know the reality is that it's a struggle to not get bored and a battle not to focus on those little nagging things too much, I still want it. All of the arguments and compromise are worth that initial all-consuming fire.
Ryan's smile faltered, and her gaze moved to her glass.
Where does it go?
The flame? It's smothered by misunderstandings, bills, lack of communication, distrust. I suppose those who have stood the test of time figured out a way to reignite it. Everyone wants to know how. There's books, talk shows, magazine articles that tell us how to do it. But for every couple, the mysterious key is different.
Peyton held up a finger.
This is why I believe in soulmates. Some people are just joined at the hip because they need each other. Some people stay together because they fear they might end up in something worse, like jumping out of the frying pan and into the fire. Some have just given up, become complacent, and cohabitate with a lover who's become a roommate. Then there are those two people who are so deeply connected that their souls have fused together. All the things that smother the fire are still there, but the communion between them is unbreakable. That's what I'm searching for.
Ryan took the last swallow of her drink and motioned to the bartender for another.
At night, when it's really quiet, I can hear the whistle of a train. I have this crazy fantasy of stealing away in one of the cars, not even knowing its destination just for the adventure of it. Lee and I used to lay there and come up with all sorts of silly plans to make this happen, and what we'd do.
Now, Ryan sighed.
Responsibility is a dream crusher, isn't it?
It sure can be. I have a runaway fantasy, too. Actually, I've done it once, so I guess I can't dub it a fantasy. Last year, my brain completely locked up. I couldn't compose a thing. It was like 10 in the morning, and I got in my car to go grocery shopping. But I just kept going when I should have turned into the parking lot of the store. Next thing I know, I'm on the interstate, doing about 80, headed to nowhere. I rolled down the windows, turned the music up, and just drove. I kept thinking I would stop, but I didn't, until I got off the interstate in Florida.
How long did you stay?
Just overnight, Peyton said with a laugh. I got a hotel room, walked the beaches, stared at the water for a long time, and drove home the next day. No one even knew I was gone. Truthfully, you're the first person I've ever admitted this to. It would have been more fun if I'd had company, but the experience did help clear my mind.
You didn't pack anything? Ryan asked. It was really that spontaneous?
The only thing I had with me was a grocery list, wallet, and phone.
Ryan smiled.
I think that's much better than hopping a train. You can come back when you want, if you want, and there's no danger of being run over. How far into Florida did you go?
Destin.
Ryan blinked rapidly.
That's,
a 4.5-hour drive. That's about how long it took for me to have the, oh shit, what am I doing, moment. I got off the interstate, filled up my tank, and bought a nerd rope and a Slurpee. The sugar rush made me giddy, and I decided to continue on with my adventure.
I'm going to have to try that, Ryan said sincerely.
You should.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?